Hello! Thank you for joining us today on the Feast of Trumpets. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Today is a day with historical roots in ancient Israel that looks forward to the kingdom of God. It is one of the seven holy days given in the Bible. Today is not the Feast of a Trumpet, singular, but the Feast of Trumpets, plural. When we consider trumpets in the biblical context, they were used in ancient Israel to warn the people. And in the book of Revelation, we can see that trumpets are used by God to signify ever-increasing, sobering events to people on earth. Within Revelation, we read of seven trumpets, with each successive trumpet bringing new punishments to the people. When the seventh seal of Revelation is opened, there is silence in heaven about half an hour. With moments of silence routinely observed for tragedies, a half hour of silence shows something extremely sobering is about to occur. With this 30-minute period of silence, we see seven angels standing before God, and each angel is given a trumpet to mark when another sobering event starts. Then, an eighth angel is observed to be standing at the altar in heaven, having a golden censer to burn incense, and enough incense that it could be offered along with the prayers of the saints. The incense is so much that its smoke rises up to God. The angel holding the censer then fills it with fire from the altar and throws it to the earth, causing panic among the people, along with horrific thunderstorms and earthquakes. Revelation 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. The seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared to play their trumpet. When the first angel sounded, fire and hell rained down on earth, almost like a dangerous thunderstorm and rocks from a volcano. These caused blood to be spilled and severely damaged vegetation and forests. Verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. When the second trumpet sounds, we see something that looks like a great mountain that is afire crashing into the sea. We don't know if John saw a volcano erupting into the ocean, if a great earthquake leveled a mountain, or if John saw something else. We are told a third of the sea becomes blood, almost like it has red tide. As a result, a third of sea life dies, and a third of the ships are also lost, showing whatever happens is dangerous and damaging to ships. Verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. When the third angel sounds, a star falls from heaven, like an asteroid, so large it lights up the night sky as if it was day. Whatever this object is, it seems to break up, and a third of fresh water is poisoned. Verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. Next, the fourth angel sounds, and the light of the sun and moon is blocked. From earth, it looks like a third of the sun, moon, and stars are impacted. As this trumpet is concluded, an angel is seen pronouncing three additional woes on the people of earth, one for each of the remaining trumpets. Verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. When the fifth angel sounds, a star falls from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. This falling star is likely Satan, and out of the bottomless pit comes so much smoke, it darkens the sun and the air. Out of the smoke comes locust upon the earth, described as having the power of the scorpion. These locusts do not harm plant life, but do bring harm to those who are not protected by God. While these could be locusts released during this future time, this vision could also be using language John understood to describe things not seen by mankind when John lived. John could have very well seen some tactical military weapon that is harmful to people and animals, but does not harm plant life. With crowns of gold in the face of men, together with the sound of many horses running to battle with the shape of a locust, John could have seen helicopters. With the conclusion of the fifth trumpet, the first woe comes to an end, and two more woes remain. Revelation 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven under the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. The sixth angel sounds, and a voice from the altar before God, tells him to free the four angels bound in the great river Euphrates. These four angels have the assignment to kill one-third of humanity. Along with these four angels is an army of 200 million. And the four angels use the army of 200 million to destroy a third of humanity, suggesting a future world war that results in the death of so many people that starts with the conflict in the greater Middle East area. While the events of the sixth trumpet lead to a huge loss of life, it does not lead to a change of heart in the people who continue to worship gods and not God the Father and Jesus Christ, and who do not repent of their sins. Verse 13. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth, and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. It is then that the seventh angel sounds, and there were great voices in heaven announcing the establishment of the kingdom of God, led by God the Father and Jesus Christ. Revelation 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there were seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Later in Revelation, we are given a vision of Jesus Christ returning to earth riding a white horse. He is followed by a spiritual army from heaven. His clothes identify him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As Jesus and the army of heaven comes to earth, the armies of the beast and false prophet prepare to defend earth from this invasion. They are utterly defeated, with the beast and false prophet tossed alive into the lake of fire and the remnant of their army killed. So many are killed that day, death becomes a feast for the birds. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, both in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. It is at the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet, when the kingdom of God is proclaimed, that the dead in Christ are resurrected, and those who are alive at his return become spirit. While we look forward to the kingdom of God throughout the year, it is on the Feast of Trumpets we look forward to the resurrection of all who died in the faith and our place in eternity within the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and did not want them to be living in sorrow for those who died in the faith, showing that when Jesus returns, the dead will be returning with him, meaning they will be resurrected. First, the dead in Christ will be resurrected, and then those of the faith alive at the return of Jesus will be changed to spirit, and we will all have eternal life. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What we look forward to as Christians is much different than what a Jew might look forward to within their faith. We have a common heritage in the origin of the holy days, and for us the memorial of the blowing of the trumpets causes us to look forward in time to the prophecies of Revelation. Let's read the command given to Israel in Leviticus 23, starting with verse 23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall you have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. You shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Looking to the events to come, it is natural to want to understand when these events will start. We are not given an exact date by God, and with all of the intrigue of a spy novel, only God knows the timing of the return of Jesus Christ. What we can see from the teachings of Jesus are general things to look for that show his return is coming closer and closer. One of the things Jesus taught was that the temple would be completely destroyed, and that prompted the disciples to want to know more because to them the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem would have seemed too fantastic to believe. Matthew 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left there one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? The very first thing Jesus taught them was to make sure that they would never be deceived, explaining many would come preaching about Jesus Christ, and because their teachings would be so close to the truth, the subtlety of deception would be missed by most. He added that wars would become more and more prevalent, and if wars were not on the horizon, the threat of war would always be hanging over the heads of the people. Jesus explained these things would happen, but his return and the establishment of the kingdom of God would still be a far way off. Verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. He explained that there would be wars between nations and kingdoms. Added to this misery would be famines, pandemics, and natural disasters scattered around the world. And all of these would be just the beginning of sorrows. Verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. It is when around the world we are hated because of our faith that we can take note. When we think back to how the Nazis committed genocide against the Jews during World War II, as horrific as that was the influence of one nation acting against Jews. In the future, all nations will hate us because of our faith. While Revelation hints at a place of safety, that place of safety will exist where we are hated of all nations. With the imminent threat of death, some will betray the faith, and they will betray us in a desperate attempt to save their own lives. Because of these betrayals, love will be replaced with hate by too many. Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. With truth and retreat, within a world that hates those of the faith, false prophets will arise to fill the void of true faith. Many will be deceived, and while it's not totally clear from the passage to be deceived, one once had to have knowledge of the truth. So the many who are deceived were likely once of the faith. Sin will become pervasive and an accepted part of society, and love that the Bible describes will be hard to find. If we want to be part of the kingdom of God, if we want to be with Jesus when he returns to earth, we must endure to the end to be saved. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The kingdom of God will be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. The end will be marked by the discovery of the abomination of desolation in the holy place spoken of by Daniel the prophet. We don't know exactly what the abomination of desolation is, but if at a future time a temple is built for Jews in Jerusalem, the Holy of Holies will be separated during the year and accessible only to the high priest on the Day of Atonement. It would make a great hiding place for weapons of mass destruction. When the abomination of desolation is discovered, it is vital that those who live in Jerusalem and the immediate area get out immediately and flee to the mountains. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is in the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Jesus taught that this future time of the great tribulation would be hardest on families with children and babies, and that only a miracle of God would keep mankind from killing itself into extinction. Verse 19. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. He taught that people would claim to know where he would be hiding on earth, and wanted it to be clear that when he returned, it would be as easy to notice as the sunrise. Even under dark clouds, we can see when the sun has risen because of the change in light. There will be no hidden return of Jesus to this planet. Verse 23. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Jesus taught that after the great tribulation, there would be a solar and lunar eclipse followed by a meteorite shower with other heavenly signs that are a prelude to the return of Jesus Christ. In Jerusalem, meteor showers occur in January, April, August, and December. The month of August is interesting because the Feast of Trumpets, which foreshadows the return of Jesus, comes in September or October. April is the typical month of the spring holy days, and the meteorite showers during that month could lead to something around Pentecost. When Jesus returns, he is announced by angels with the sound of a trumpet. Verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Jesus showed the need to consider the timing of events instead of exact dates. He showed that while we won't know exact dates, we can know when his return is near by understanding prophecy. Verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Jesus taught that only God the Father would know when he would return, and up until that time, people with no knowledge of the faith will live their lives not knowing what is coming. He tells us to be ready for his return by looking at the timing of events instead of trying to determine exact dates. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. He explained that the faithful and wise servant is the one who is found so doing. When Jesus returns, he needs to find us so doing, doing what is expected of us. And if we are found doing what is expected of us, we will have eternal life in the kingdom of God. Verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. He shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How can we be found so doing? First, we need to be focused on being spiritually ready for his return. That means the Holy Spirit will have grown within us to meet our spiritual needs. We will not be lacking when it comes to the Holy Spirit. What that tells us is to be found so doing, our life must be a life reflecting godliness and righteousness. Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Having been given the Holy Spirit, we have a responsibility to do something with this gift we've been given. What we cannot do is just bury the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a trophy we display on the shelf of a favored room in our house. It is a gift that we use like a muscle. And as we use the Holy Spirit like a muscle, it becomes stronger and larger in our life. We must be focused on spiritual growth, and spiritual growth has elements of knowledge. So there is always a need to study what is in the Bible. And then there is the application of knowledge, because unless knowledge is put to use, it is like a book on a shelf. Knowledge is of very little benefit when it just sits there. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid the talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest, therefore, to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus returns, the faithful will be separated from the unfaithful. The faithful will be like sheep, and these people will take care of those in need, never seeking any glory for themselves. The unfaithful are likened to goats. These are also willing to help, but look at status for themselves, so they only do good when they will be seen, and prefer to help people who have the power to help them. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, or took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Today, we celebrate the Feast of Trumpets, knowing that this day memorializes all of the trumpets that will one day sound leading up to the return of Jesus Christ. We look forward to his return and know to be part of the kingdom of God, we need to be doing what is expected of us. When Jesus does return, if we are found so doing, then we shall be given eternal life and have a place within the kingdom of God. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath and a few days after that on the Day of Atonement. Until then, thank you for joining us today.